God.
You've brought like a whole stack of books on this guy. And let me tell you, listeners, this patriarch, total wild card. I mean, from like trickster to I guess you could say founding father. It's a journey.
Yeah, he's not your typical hero, that's for sure. He's ambitious, cunning, even a little shady at times. But that's what makes him so fascinating, right? Because despite all that, he's the one God chooses. He inherits the Abrahamic covenant, this promise that echoes through, well, all of history, really.
Okay, so for our listeners who might not have like the whole book of Genesis memorized,
That's fair.
can you give us the SparkNotes version of this chosen family thing? Like, how do we get to Jacob?
Right, so it starts way back with Abraham. God makes him this promise, this covenant that's all about land, descendants, like, more than you can count, and blessings, huge blessings that would, well, they would impact everyone.
Okay, so it's like a really, really important promise.
It's the foundation of everything. And this promise, it's passed down, not just like an inheritance, but like a sacred duty. And that's where Jacob comes in. He's the one chosen to carry it on, even though technically his older brother Esau should have been next in line.
Ah, yes, the twin rivalry. Our sources really go into detail about Jacob tricking his poor old dad Isaac. That whole story is like peak family drama.
Oh, totally. You've got birthright, favoritism, the weight of legacy. And remember, this is ancient Near East, those blessings. They weren't just like, good job, son. They held real power.
Right, like social and economic power. It makes you think, doesn't it, about how those family patterns, they repeat and repeat. The choices we make, they echo, you know?
Exactly. And that's what makes these stories so relatable, even after all these years, because Jacob, he's driven by these very human desires, love, security, a need to prove himself. And yeah, sometimes those desires lead to, well, questionable choices, like tricking your dad. Not cool, Jacob.
Which leads us to Jacob, on the run. He's fleeing for his life from a very angry brother, heading to his uncle Laban's. And what's interesting is this journey, it mirrors one taken earlier by Abraham's servant, right?
You're catching on. That parallel, it's crucial. It's not an accident. It highlights this pattern of leaving, facing challenges, and hopefully coming back transformed.
Okay, so we've got themes of legacy, deception, flight, and this echoing journey. But before we get Jacob to Haran, there's a pretty major detour, the dream at Bethel.
Oh, yeah. Things get really interesting here. So picture this. Jacob, alone in the wilderness, using a rock for a pillow, which, ouch, he's exhausted, scared, probably full of regret. And bam, he has this vivid dream.
Talk about a visual, a ladder stretching from earth to heaven with angels going up and down. Was this just a stress dream or something
Oh,
more?
this was way more than a dream. This was a full-on theophany.
A theophany. Okay. So not just your average dream then. We're talking like a divine close encounter. What was God saying to Jacob in this moment of, well, let's be honest, kind of epic failure?
It's like a cosmic pep talk. God shows up and reaffirms those covenant promises, the land, the descendants, the whole nine yards. It's like, Jacob, dude, I see you. Even when you're running from your problems, I'm still here and I keep my promises.
Talk about a confidence boost. So, did this encounter, did it change Jacob? Like, did he suddenly become a saint after this?
Well, not exactly. I mean, he wakes up and says, whoa, the Lord is in this place and I totally missed it. Like, talk about an understatement. But he's definitely moved. He sets up a pillar, pours oil on it. Makes a big deal out of it.
So he's acknowledging God's presence, but he's also making it kind of transactional.
Yeah, you notice that. He's like, okay, God, if you do this for me, then I'll serve you.
Yeah.
Like, Jacob, come on, you just had a divine encounter and you're still trying to bargain?
So it's not an instant makeover, more like the beginning of a really long process.
Exactly. And isn't that true for us too? We have those moments where we feel super close to God, but then, life happens and we're back to making choices, facing temptations.
It's like they say, you know, we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience.
I love that. And Jacob's story, it reminds us that even these biblical giants, they were human, just like us.
Okay, so Jacob finally gets to Haran, and of course he meets a girl at a well. Our sources made a big deal about that well. Why is that so important?
Think of it like the ancient world's version of, like, I don't know, a coffee shop or something. Wells were where people hung out, gossiped, made connections. So Jacob meeting Rachel there, totally not a coincidence. It's a setup.
And talk about a meet cute. He sees Rachel, and it's love at first sight. Agrees to work 7 years for her hand in marriage. Seven.
That's some serious dedication. It shows how important family and finding the right partner was back then. But with Jacob, there's always a catch, right?
Enter Laban, Rachel's father, who, surprise, is also a fan of trickery. Poor Jacob gets tricked into marrying Leah, Rachel's older sister.
It's like, are you kidding me? Not this again.
Seriously, you almost feel bad for the guy. Almost. But it just goes to show, those family patterns, they run deep.
Right. Like father, like son-in-law, I guess. But the story doesn't end there, does it? Jacob ends up working another 7 years for Rachel, which, wow. Talk about a complicated family dynamic.
Two wives, and eventually, a whole bunch of kids. This is where things get really interesting. We see jealousy, competition, even like ancient surrogacy. It's a lot.
Definitely not your average family sitcom, but it's important to remember we're looking back at a different time, different culture.
Right, we can't judge the past by today's standards. But still, you have to admit, the drama is kind of hard to look away from.
Oh, absolutely. And amidst all the drama, God's promise, it's still unfolding, it's messy, it's complicated, but those 12 sons, they become the 12 tribes of Israel. Talk about a legacy.
And speaking of those sons, can we talk about their names? Because our sources pointed out how each name tells a story.
Yes, the names are like little clues. They tell us about the mother's hopes, their struggles, even what they believed about God.
Okay, so like Leah names her first son Reuben, which means see a son. It's like she's throwing shade.
Right, like see, I'm the one who gave Jacob his firstborn. And then there's Simeon, which means heard. It's like she's saying, God heard my prayer.
Wow. So much drama packed into those ancient names. It's amazing how these stories, they still resonate today.
It really is incredible. Those names, they're like little time capsules of these women's lives. And it's against this backdrop of, well, let's call it spirited family dynamics, that God's promise starts to become a reality. It's not exactly a Hallmark card kind of unfolding, is it?
Nope. Definitely more of a soap opera, maybe.
Right.
With really high stakes. And speaking of high stakes, we have to talk about the wrestling match.
Ah.
And I don't mean with Esau, I mean with, well, God.
Right.
That part always gets me. It's so, I don't know, visceral. What's the deal with that wrestling match?
It's one of those stories that just, it grabs you, you know? It's Jacob on the edge of this reunion he's dreading with Esau, and he's wrestling all night. But it's not just a physical fight, it's deeper. He's wrestling with his past, his fears, and yeah, with God.
It's like the ultimate confrontation with himself.
Exactly. And he comes out of it changed. Wounded, sure. Limping, even. But changed. He gets a new name, Israel, which means he strives with God.
Wow. That's not just a name change. It's like a whole identity shift.
It really is. And it's like God's acknowledging Jacob's persistence, his willingness to not give up, even when it hurts.
It's a good reminder for all of us, right? That faith, it's not always, you know, sunshine and roses. Sometimes it's messy and hard.
Totally. Sometimes you got to wrestle with it. Ask the tough questions. And yeah, it might leave a mark, but it also changes you.
You come out stronger, even if you're a little banged up.
And don't forget, this wrestling match, it's also about inheritance. Remember how Jacob tricked Esau? Well, now he's getting a different kind of inheritance. Not one based on trickery, but on struggle, on surrender.
So he finally steps into who he's supposed to be. Not the trickster, but Israel, the father of a nation.
Powerful, right?
This whole deep dive has been amazing. Legacy, deception, family drama, and of course, wrestling with God. What's the one thing you hope listeners will take away from Jacob's story?
That God can work through anyone, even those of us who, let's say, color outside the lines sometimes. That our struggles, our questions, they're all part of the journey, and that no matter what, God is faithful. He's always there.
That's a great note to end on. And listeners, we want to hear from you. What are your takeaways from Jacob's story? Hit us up on social media and let us know. Until next time, keep diving deep.